Hello and welcome to the commentary of the very first episode of Second Shift. Today is July 28th, and I guess we should introduce ourselves.
2007.
Thank you. That would be Becky Davis, the amazing senior producer of Second Shift.
And I know what year it is. Yay!
And it's the 28th going on the 29th.
It's true. And that would be Alexandria Gist, the senior actress of Catherine.
Senior actress? What, is there a junior?
Are you calling her old?
Yes, she's an ancient 20 years old. And my name is Andrea Jennifer Schubert. I'm the executive producer, creator, and all of this came out of my head at the very beginning, which is kind of scary. And the main reason why
it's a sight to behold.
The main reason why I wanted these two people for the commentary with me on the pilot is because these two people really were the core of the show with me. When I came up with the very beginning concept, when Shauna assaulted me while I was dreaming, I...
Not me, but...
No, the character. She came to me and she said, tell my story. And in another commentary, I guess for episode zero, I will talk at length about that. But...
Are we doing an episode zero?
I'm gonna do one about just...
The original thing?
Yeah. Okay. Not so much about that, but, you know, like the process stuff.
Cool.
Okay, just
cool.
A commentary fun. Without an episode behind it, I guess.
That's so, nice. Can we start the episode?
Yeah, sure. I guess we should start the episode. So, I pulled Lexi and Becky very close. These two people are amazing friends of mine, and I'm very lucky to be working with them. And now they're dancing and singing. You can't see the dancing because this is an audio-only medium. You know, we have to pay royalties every time you do that. It's horrible. Anyways, so I said, Becky, I have this story and I have to tell it. And I'll see you in a day and a half. and I jammed and wrote. And
wait, do you want to go before that and talk about the whole, who was that first character I was going to play for your trading card?
Shia.
Oh, Shia. Man,
so it started earlier. Earlier than that. It actually started in the fall of...
The fall of 05.
And Andrea was making up some trading card type game, and I don't even play such games. And she said I want you to do this thing where you're playing a character and you're gonna burst into the room during the test run of this game and do this act of the character Shio. And I was like, okay. And she was like, you get to wear a cloak. And I was like, huh, all right.
They have hoods for your head.
We would call this an alternate reality game. This is not a game.
This is not a game.
Yes, and in fact...
Which we reference later on.
It's true. So, that ultimately failed when I went to Your Move Games in Somerville
and no one showed up.
Yeah,
was it exactly zero?
It was exactly zero. It was 0.0. So, all you budding young game designers out there, just learn to know pain. Pain is your friend.
So that was, the point is that trading card game was taking place in this same world that ultimately became Second Shift.
Yep. I've had this idea forever. Like I mentioned in my blog on the website, it originally started really as a live-action role-playing game named Collegium Magica, and good ideas won't ever die. And this idea just stuck in my head for over a decade, one after another after another. And at the very beginning, there was no attachment from the modern world. And as you can hear in this scene right now, the modern world is, you know, we've got Catherine and Mike and Shauna in Antonio's Pizza. These characters didn't exist in the original game, but I found that starting with the modern place and going to the fantasy place was the best way to tell the story.
Gives people something they can relate to. I mean, if you just worked out with Arcady.
I tend to like that kind of fantasy anyway, speculative fiction than just like Lord of the Rings. I'll watch in movies. I'm not really interested so much in the books because I can't really relate to them very well.
There's
nothing that is anything like me. It's more about the world.
Yeah.
But the world is so foreign that I don't even really relate to it. So
this will be Joss Whedon reference number one. But keep count, kids. What's the over-under on that?
Everyone take
a drink. For the two pilots.
Over-under?
Oh, yeah. How many times do you think I'll be referencing Joss?
In these two
commentaries.
Let's go with
14.
All right, 10 and 14, we got it down. Okay, right. So number one. A very important lesson I learned from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show.
One.
Is that setting this fantastic, horrific story...
that was me playing the little kid. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was Lexi and Christina who were playing the little twins.
Yeah. Pizza.
K squared.
That's right.
Which was originally supposed to be one character and somehow turned into twins. Ow. Kicking the table is awesome.
But anyway,
can we edit that? Probably not.
No. So you want to say about Buffy.
So basically, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy is this teenage vampire slayer, the chosen one. And so it's set in high school, and there's vampires and zombies and demons and magicians and lesbian wicked chicks, which is good times.
It just came out of nowhere, but anyway.
That totally didn't come out of nowhere.
Are you serious? Let's get into this later.
I know, anyways. But we had, a California schoolgirl, something that everybody can relate to, even if they don't know one. And we went from high school, something everyone has gone through, into this dark fantasy world. So Joss put us in a setting we were familiar with and took us to a story he wanted to tell us. And I didn't try and rip him off, but I tried to learn the lesson. And so that's what I did here. So I put these characters in a setting familiar, a pizza place, and a setting I know very well, Boston, because I was born here. And I took them to the world that I was making, the world of Amarand, originally known as Laundi, because the world was named Laundi, the continent was named Laundi, and the city was named Laundi, and the city-state was named Laundi at various points during development.
It was just...
too much Laundi.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if in season one the characters ever tell them about Earth or United States or Massachusetts. I think they only say Boston.
They only say Boston?
No, from California. Catherine is from California. Yeah. By way of California.
Okay, yes, that's true.
Boston,
that's true.
By way of California.
Oh, wait, I think they do say, where is Boston?
Yeah.
In Massachusetts. And they go, Massachusetts? No,
we cut that.
That was in one version of the script.
Yeah.
Okay, that was in one version.
But there's also, Mike also has a throwaway line that he's from Ohio.
Yep. Yeah.
Mike Archer.
He says, actually, I'm in Ohio, but,
Mike Archer is played by Mike Hunter, who's a friend of Becky's, who was a total perfect find, because the man is Mike.
He lives that role.
He lives the role.
I mean, not completely, but
yeah,
enough.
Right.
Enough.
I mean,
it was really random. Like, the first couple of actors we came on for the show were really random. Like, me and Lexi are not, like, big actors by any means, and we've definitely never done audio drama.
Safe to say that nobody involved in this project did audio drama
in
any form.
Neil was
episode 13. We were well established by that point.
None of the original 11 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was really, really random because, I mean, Lexi and me were just Andrea's good friends. Mike was one of the newest people, one of the first other actors I brought on, if not the next one after us, I forget.
Yeah.
He's like an intelligent, talented version of Mike Archer.
It's true.
And I found him, well, I knew Mike because I used to date him in high school for under a year. Yeah.
Spoiler. Spoiler. Can I interrupt for a second?
Fine.
So I wanted to reference this specific scene. Let's actually talk about the episode for a second.
That'd be a good idea.
This is Becky playing off of Becky. This is Shauna Brown talking to her younger brother, Tyler.
It was
both
really
roles
hard.
Played by Becky.
It was incredibly hard because I wasn't doing them at the same time. I read all of Shauna's lines and then I read all of Tyler's lines, which was really didn't work out that well. And this scene could be a lot better if I had just done them at once, I think.
So here's this really important moment. This is the very first time we get any inkling at all that she's something special.
I think she was a little early on this.
Just a bit.
Learn your own script.
Well,
woman.
you've heard the episode before, but oh,
here's the truck.
There it was. So. That was her Shauna sense. She knew the truck was coming, and that was a little hint that of things to come.
That's my favorite joke.
I didn't, you know what, I didn't really like that joke that much.
I liked it.
And I didn't think it was that funny, and I didn't have that whole pause. They edited in a longer pause because they didn't think I had my comic timing right. But
you did
a good
job in it.
I don't think it's the best joke either,
I
but
liked
whatever.
It. Oh, come on.
No promises. This becomes a running joke.
So, oh, yeah. It was funny because,
ooh, these transitions, I forgot about.
Oh, them. The old transitions from Casein Hall.
Good yeah, time.
Our original composer. Casein Hall, amazing. Much. He helped set everything up, and it was
awesome.
A loss.
It was amazing because we, hadn't really thought anything about the music. We just kind of handed it to him and said, put music in here, you know?
We did tell him that we wanted it to be a foreign sound, nothing familiar, in a European style or Eastern style or anything like that. And he came up with this great melange of styles that was really, you know, you couldn't really place it anywhere.
So
that's true.
So I want to mention this part, too. I want to get back to the mic story. So,
oh, that's all right.
This movie, they're going to the movies, okay? Now in the original script, I specifically mentioned the movie they're going to see, the high-budget nerd spectacle based on a character written by J.K. Rowling. And it was cut, ultimately, because, you know, we didn't feel the need to specifically reference it. We didn't want to specifically name a time in which this story takes place. We've then violated that, and we've narrowed down dramatically the times in which this show ever could have happened, because we've going on to reference
Neverwinter Nights
and iHeart Huckabees and other things.
Well, when you first, when Andrea first wrote the script, it was filled with references of nerd stuff like Star Wars and video games and Harry Potter and.
Oh God, we had midichlorian joke.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the audience's ears right now.
Sorry about that.
Oh, we'll fix it.
We'll fix that in post.
So the point I wanted to make about this is that there's this shift, the method by which these characters go to Laundy.
Gross.
Spoiler.
Stupid mic.
Is that there's the chanting.
Yeah.
Sean, are you okay?
It's freaking cool. So mention about
There's a spot in the parking lot. I was actually going to see Harry Potter 4 with Becky's mom. And Diane is an amazing woman. And I was just talking about Second Shift.
Hi, Mom.
And as we were walking from her car to the front door of the movie theater, like halfway between...
Goth chanting?
No, they weren't actually chanting. There was no Goth Weeds there, unfortunately. It would have been cool if there were.
But
I'm
anyway.
I'm a fan of Goth Weeds. Especially psychotic ones.
So there's a specific spot in the parking lot where you had inspiration.
Yeah, and I knew that like this was it, and they needed to be shifted there against their will. This was a very important detail.
I love this chanting here.
Oh my God, I love it too. Awesome. Yeah.
This is when I first heard this whole thing edited together. This is when I knew we were gonna make it.
Oh yeah.
This was like my God.
It's freaking amazing. What I love most about this is the music going dun dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It was great.
I love it. It's like a heartbeat.
It's
fantastic.
Hair's standing
up in the back of my head. Fi. Now, at this point, is it okay to say who's playing right here? Do you think that's allowed?
We don't explicitly say that that's
well, yeah.
We'll need to edit that.
When are we...
Bleep!
Bleep.
It depends on when we're releasing this comic.
Yeah, no. Okay, let's move on. So...
So the mysterious voice there, that was played by Brandon Kroos, and the other one was, of course, Fesmer, that you could hear.
Yeah.
But at this point, our characters didn't know that yet.
No.
Did you know that it was played by Brandon? I would hope so, not.
So, sorry. I want to listen to this for a second. When they get back to the Charandrian. And that's the very first spell. And Shauna doesn't like it.
Poren.
Poren, by the way, the original name of Fesmer's brother. And I forgot. And
it
so, and so when I made, and it means translate. And so when I wrote the spell, the word felt right for me to translate the word translate into Charandrian. And so now he couldn't be called Poren anymore. So now
that's
he became Porek.
Which Paul always makes fun of us because when he hears Porek, he thinks it sounds like pork.
Paul being our esteemed actress Becky's
fiance.
Fiance.
Not for very long. Soon husband.
Soon to be.
Run, Paul, run! No. I mean,
you don't know what you're getting into.
Getting married is awesome.
I'm sorry, Becky.
Let's see. Charandrayan. One of my favorite TV shows is Firefly. That
two.
Would be two. And in Firefly, Joss had this great fusion. Sorry, Joss Whedon. It's not like I know him personally.
Yeah. Jossie Poo.
Wait, you weren't going to talk about that.
Okay, anyway.
So, it's this great fusion of Chinese and American, you know, Western cultures. And they kind of fuse together in this mishmash and they go off into space. And they settle new worlds. It's like 500 years removed from here and now. What was really great about it is they had characters speaking in English, and then suddenly they drop into Chinese. If they wanted to make a particular point or phrase or reference that they didn't exist in English, they would just bust out the Chinese.
Or if they wanted to cuss their heads up.
Or if they wanted to cuss their heads up.
They sound really colorful.
So I loved this mechanic as a way to have a clear distinction that this is different. And in Second Shift, it's an audio drama, of course. So we don't have sets, we don't have, you know, movement on screen, we don't have any of these things to show that this place is foreign. So that's why we mention what things look like sometimes, and that's why all of the characters have this, you know, pseudo...
This accent.
This accent, yeah. But they also...
It was Julian and Brad that mostly fabricated.
Yeah, I'll get back to the accent in a second.
Yes.
But for the Charandrayan specifically, it's crystal clear that these people are not from here because it's not English and it's not any language on Earth. And this language I constructed, and it's been really hard, ridiculously hard, but a lot of fun. And Chagrindi, for those of you that care. Or not Chagrindi. Yeah, Chagrindi. To those of you who care. English is hard. Charandrayan. Yeah.
Don't start doing the whole commentary on Charandrayan, because that again.
Oh, we should totally do that sometime.
We can do the whole commentary in sign language.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna start now. I'm signing.
Okay, so the alt commentary
She's
track
signing,
will be
spells and swimming and heart love, yes. You love swimming with spells. Okay.
So,
thank you.
So if you want a transcript of this commentary track, write very quickly. oh god, where the hell are we?
Well,
let's listen to the episode and find out.
Oh, Jareth.
Jareth was.
Here comes Fabio.
Jareth was amazing, amazing find, and he has given so incredible amounts to the show, and it
Brad
was really
Smith
funny.
Is awesome.
Brad Smith, because
he joined in like a day.
He joined in the day before the first recording of this episode. We're listening to
19 hours and 45 minutes.
And I found him kind of randomly on a LiveJournal community called Boston Gamers, because we had posted on Craigslist a couple times looking for actors, and Jareth just wasn't coming to us. The people who had
Jareth
responded,
was
it wasn't
really
quite
hard.
Working. And we almost were trying to
that we were going for.
Yeah.
And we had one guy come in, and two of them come in, and Brad was one of them, and Brad just stood out. I mean, just because he's huge and has tremendous room presence.
Why I love Brad Smith. Number one, he fills any room he's
Who
in.
Who doesn't love Brad Smith?
I know. I mean, swoon. Aww. But, no, Brad...
Absolutely.
You kissed me.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Fangirl. Oh, I fangirl Brad Smith.
You totally do. So, can I fangirl Sequoia? Or is that kind of weird?
That is weird.
As long as I can fangirl Sequoia. Yeah. That's Brad's
wife. Well, weird because she doesn't have a speaking role. I mean, she's just her schedule.
Yeah,
she'll have a speaking role.
She will eventually.
They all do.
She wanted to before. She wanted to last season.
Anyway.
Yeah, she wanted to even last season, but
Brad is awesome because he's a thorough professional. He always nails every beat.
He's an amazing actor, which is what he was brought on for. But he's after a while in season one, especially when Andrea was leaving, Andrea was moving away, and so I as the producer, I said that I need an assistant producer. I need someone else to help me out since Andrea is taking off and moving across the country, and so I was thinking about who that could be on the team, and I didn't want to hire someone new, and I realized that Brad had been taking over. He's this natural leader. Really, really, really is. And before he had any reason to do so, he wasn't appointed, he was just an actor, he was taking on all this extra responsibility, and he was getting stuff done, and he was just making sure, you know, he's taking care of things. And I said, wow, he's really amazing, I've got to ask Brad. And he agreed, which was, you know, one of the, definitely the best hiring decision ever that I have made. So, yeah, he's done unbelievable amounts of work and continues to do unbelievable, and he's really one of the most self-sacrificing people on the team,
yeah,
by far.
Basically,
like, Sequoia complains how self-sacrificing he is.
honest to Ainoram, this is absolutely the truth. This show doesn't exist without basically every single person involved, but Becky backs me up and then eventually took over show running when my brain was purchased by Electronic Arts Canada in August of 2006.
God, let's not go there.
But good times. Electronic Arts is great. UEFA Champions League for Xbox.
Get the chip out of your head.
Ow!
Slug.
Ow!
Slug.
Ow! Ow! God.
Just switch to a garlic shampoo and it will be okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was a Futurama reference. I don't know if you caught it.
That's one. One.
Awesome.
David X. Cohen, Joss Whedon.
So wait. So what's Lexi going to be referencing? We'll have to find out when it happens.
Okay.
We'll see. BSG. We'll see how it goes. We'll find out.
I haven't even started season two of that.
So my story about how Mike got involved is that I knew him from like years and years ago, and then in college I was at Fitchburg State and he was at Fitchburg State, and we hadn't like seen each other in a couple of years since sometime in high school. We were in the same church, and I happened to find him. He happened to be in my psychology class, and that was really random, so we started hanging out a little bit and talking just in class and stuff, and I realized, I was reading the script, I was thinking of who could be, play Mike, and Mike said, booyah, and for some reason, booyah sounded like something that Mike Hunter would say, and so I plopped the script in his lap during the middle of the class, because Mike is one of those guys who just talks throughout class anyway.
I can totally
really
see that.
Never, ever listened in class and constantly talked.
Did he graduate?
He's still in college.
Okay.
He's still, like, two more years, I think. He's same grade as Lexi.
Right, go on.
And so, during class, we had all this time while the teacher was blabbing, and I just plopped the script in his lap, and he looked through it, and he said, this is cool. And I said, do you want to play Mike? And he said, okay. And so, I brought him to one of the next meetings, and it was perfect, and everybody was like, yeah, definitely.
We like Mike.
It totally worked. So it was a pretty, pretty random thing.
Speaking of Mike, here's a Mike and Fez, this is the Mike and Fezmer pairing. One of the things I did to really give the listeners an opportunity to kind of get into the guts of the characters right in episode one is
pair them up
and split them off. And don't split the party is rule number one, but it's like anti-rule number one for writing these things, because the large group scenes with 4 and 5 and 6 characters, like I'm writing episode 2.07 right now, and there's a scene with everybody sitting at a tavern table, and it's like, oh, I just need to finish the scene so I can break them up.
Yeah.
But so I broke them up early. I actually there's her spell.
Regan.
Oh, now we're over to Jareth and Catherine. But when
okay.
Sorry.
Except no. That ship sailed and sank. It's true.
Look, we can reference our own show.
Oh my god. Wow. Does that make us like self-referential cultural elite snobs?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Awesome.
anyway.
So I paired off all the characters and split them off, and we get to see groundling things here for all of the characters. We hear
So we hear
about Catherine saying we should go back and help, and Jareth saying, well, how, you know, what isn't clear, he's one of the bad guys, and he uses, you know, Jareth-sounding words. And, like, you know, here's more foreshadowing here as we segue to Shauna and Archon. This is foreshadow moment number one.
So
much foreshadowing.
So I want to
everybody
say something.
Everybody drink.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. We have a foreshadowing
I'm not sure
drinking
if
game.
The, oh, my cup's
drunk
empty.
After 10 seconds.
Something I don't know if we've ever told the listeners is that Second Shift, originally written, had a narrator.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Oh, my God.
The narrator was Shauna, and it was supposed to be, like, Shauna writing in a journal or something, or Shauna, like, talking. What was it supposed to be originally? I kind of forgot.
So here it is, folks.
Like, after the fact?
I'm going to
I remember now.
I'm going to talk about all of this when we get to my episode 13 commentary.
So can we not say this now?
No, I'm going to say it now.
Okay.
In the original ending that I had written, Shauna died.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And the great big reveal at the end of episode 13, at the end of season 1, was that all of this commentary was her telling a story at Ainoram.
At Dre and Mur.
A member
as
Ainoram to Mike. And this was going to be the start of season 2.
I didn't know that.
I know you didn't know that part. Yeah, but all of this was all
yeah.
of... Yeah.
Oh my God, so freaking creepy.
Hey, yeah. How did you
this
not tell me that?
Like, you didn't need to know.
This is, the idea, we haven't really dealt with this, but the idea of Ainoram, so far we've only seen Dre and Mur to go and talk to the Ainoram in general.
Right.
But another idea of Dre and Mur that we had, and maybe is still the case, I'm not really sure because we haven't used it, is that you can go and talk to your individual ancestors.
Right.
And in Mike's case, that Shauna wouldn't be an ancestor, but we just kind of figured it would work.
The closest thing in
the closest thing. And so, yeah, so that idea was that Mike was sitting in Dre and Mur talking to the dead ghost of Shauna. So freaking creepy. Or Tyler.
Oh, right. Tyler was going to come.
Because
right,
Tyler,
right.
Shauna's little brother, was going to come back to Laundy to try to get Shauna or say goodbye to her or whatever.
Yeah, no, that was it. In the original plan for what season 2 would begin, Shauna's family was going to come and basically be at the funeral for Shauna.
Yes. And so
and it was going to be Mike trying to undo it and bring Shauna back from the dead, and
it was
going to go really freaking dark.
So there's this great thing that I had, this great moment I had when I was exploring these characters, and I have an MP3 of it somewhere, when
I found Tyler,
and, you know, I don't remember how it was decided that I would play Tyler, I really don't remember that, but I was doing some just kind of mental exploration one time, and I was thinking about this whole Dre and Mur thing, and I was picturing the scene of Tyler saying to his parents, or saying to, I forget, but saying how he had to go and find Shauna, and he went, and he shifted, and he was going to find Shauna, and then he was going to Dre and Mur to say goodbye to her.
Yep.
And I did this monologue where I recorded it, and I was all alone in my room, and I was recording this thing where I had Tyler... Yeah. And Shauna's conversation at Dre and Mur, where Tyler was trying to say that he wanted to stay, and Shauna was saying, no, you have to go home. I'm dead, Tyler. You have to go home and take care of Mom and Dad. And they were crying, and it was like this incredible thing that I don't even know how I did that. And it was the most amazing part for me is that I wasn't using editing. And
no,
the Tyler
it was one
you
take.
Hear, yeah, the Tyler you hear in this episode and others is the voice is pitched down, but in that one, I don't know how I did it, because I've never been able to do it that well again. It was just so real that Shauna's voice and Tyler's voice were incredibly different, and they were talking to each other, and it was all just coming out of me, and I don't even, it's like, it was magic. Tyler was there, and Shauna was there.
Yep.
It was crazy.
Maybe
that'll be released someday, I don't know.
Yeah. We could probably include it on the extras with this.
If we edited it. It's a little weird at first where I'm trying to find it. But,
yeah. When,
but yeah, that was an experience for me.
When we get to the end of episode 2, I'll be talking about acting versus living. And in that little thing, Becky was not there. It wasn't Becky. And
yeah. I don't remember it back to that.
I can really tell the moments when these people are acting and these people are living. And it's a nearly impossible thing for me to ask that these great actors and actresses that have come to this project are always 100% in their character. Especially
when their characters are going through really hard things.
Yeah, well, yes, as we get to. But
for everybody.
Like, but yeah, everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. But it's really magic, mind the pun, when we just hear this great just being. I mean, when the first time Becky left the room and you just let Shauna take over, and that was just awesome. And then later you did that with Catherine, although for you it's not quite so much a stretch because you just kind of bitch.
Whatever. Yeah. People always tell me that I'm exactly like Catherine, that I'm the biggest bitch in the world. But that's not the truth.
You're totally not the biggest bitch in the world. You're just
only
the
when
biggest
you want to be.
You're just
when
the
you
big...
want to be.
Nice.
You can be nice. You can be nice, very nice when you want to, and you can be very bitchy when you want to.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey, gaming reference. This usually grants an XP bonus.
What?
Did Mike just say
that? Yeah, Mike just said it.
Yeah, we had so many references in the original version of the script that we just whittled out.
Yeah,
we did.
We cut down the time.
We did. It was just too much, and it was really... It wouldn't be funny to everybody. Even people who got it, it wouldn't necessarily be funny. It was just a bit much.
Well, this is...
It was like, look, I've seen Star Wars. Look, I've played these games.
Well,
yay!
Well, so I would be remiss to end the episode commentary for episode one without talking about Brandon Crouse and John Tanzer. So... I'm not a writer. I am a game designer. I'm a live-action role player and creator of these. But, God, I don't write. And I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to craft. I made the setting, but they made the words that I put into the setting infinitely better. And so I had 25 references. 8 survived. And that was roughly right.
Yeah.
So here's the end of the episode right here. And then we hear this person reading the credits.
You will never know!
And there's the credits.
So, I started a tradition with this. Partly, I read the credits too fast. The tradition continues in the beginning of season 2.
Yeah, a little bit more, in fact.
So,
we played off you.
Yeah, thank you. No. The tradition is that the director of each episode reads the credits. So, I read the credits for the first 5 episodes because I directed them. I guess Brandon kind of co-directed parts of episode 5. And then he took over when I got that brain implant and moved to Vancouver, BC. So I guess...
That's in Canada.
Yeah. I guess... Canada.
Yeah, whatever.
The land of civil liberties and meat peeps.
Let's not be political here.
Okay. I guess this is the end of the episode. Here comes the bloopers. And the bloopers are good times.
I don't remember what the bloopers are for this one. Let's find out. Anything?
Alright!
Bring it!
Oh, yeah, I remember. Oops, I overshot it. Oh, that too.
Right.
That's Julia.
Julia.
We didn't even get through how everyone joined the team. We should.
We should probably
talk
do
about
that
in the next episode.
In the next episode. Okay. So I guess we'll just pick it up with episode 2. But before we do, it's time for the legal boilerplate.
What?
The legal boilerplate.
Oh, okay. Thank you first.
Second shift commentary, copyright 2007, Blue Scarab design.
That thing.
It's good times.
Yay!
Yay!
There are. Okay.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Let's go.